Well, good morning. I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. What a blessing we have to gather this way. I've been very blessed with the words that Brother Aiden shared and the singing this morning already. It's been very good for me to be here. Before I go into the opening, I'll try not to take too much time here. I would like if we could all stand and have another word of prayer. Lord, this morning we do thank you for this blessed privilege and opportunity that we have to gather together as brothers and sisters, unhindered from the world, to seek your face, Lord, to hear what you have for us, Father. I know I have some thoughts wrote down, but Lord, I desire that you would come and quicken your word, and that your spirit would make application to our lives, Father, or help us to make application to our lives, Father, that would make these scriptures real. Lord, we desire to follow you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We want your will to be done. We just pray that you would have freedom here in our midst, Father, that your spirit would be able to witness to each and every one of our hearts. Mind first, Lord. Father, thank you. We just bless and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. For a scripture this morning, I would like to turn to Luke 10. Something that God has been showing me in these past few months, a need in my life, starting in verse 25, and I'm going to read to 37. It says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, Who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came there where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow he departed. And he took 2 pence and gave it to them, to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come, I will repay thee. Which now these three thinkest thou was his neighbor, whom unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, Go and do thou likewise. God has been working in my heart in this area here. In verse 27, according to Jesus, if we take this one verse and live by it, we will have life. And he answering and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and the neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. In America, where we live, most people would say they love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I know that we would all say that in here. Or that is at least our desire. But it's not what we say that is the gauge if we are actually doing it or not. It's the things that come out of our mouth, the things that we do, are the gauge if that is a reality in our heart. And so this morning, I'd like to take a little time in this passage. Not necessarily as much on the first part of it as the last part. And the neighbor as thyself. You know, I looked down on the priest and the Levite for a long time. Why? How could they just go by and not do anything? Jesus used a parable here. It was not an actual happening. He used a parable here. And he used an extreme, I believe, so that we can get the point, so that we can see the picture. And I'm not sure exactly when it was when this opened up to me, but it's been some time ago. The parable was an extreme to get us to see the heart of God here. You know, in this parable, if this was a literal happening in America, first thing we would do is call the EMS. And there's not a whole lot that we're allowed to even do to the man half dead on the road, whether he was in an accident or whatever he might be. There wouldn't be a whole lot that we would even be allowed to do. So I think it's more than that. It's more than the man that's half dead along the road. So this morning, who is my neighbor? I'm going to ask the question a different way. Whose neighbor am I? Jesus didn't try to convince the lawyer that he didn't love God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. He tried to get him to see that he probably doesn't love his neighbor anymore, or he probably doesn't love God any more than his neighbor. Who is our neighbor? Or whose neighbor am I? Is it the people next door? It's them. But I think it's more than that. To whom should I practice having mercy with? As we finish up reading here, he says, and he said, he that showed mercy on him. To whom should we show mercy to? The question was the whole reason for the parable. Who's our neighbor? Or whose neighbor am I? Is it everyone that we meet? I have a lot of things that I wrote down that I believe that gives us opportunities to practice. Is it he or she that might have a flat tire? You know, they could have had a fire and need some help. For the sisters, it could be a busy mother that has got a lot of work. It might be an old widow that needs a few things fixed up. Or it might be picking up sticks in the lawn for an old couple. It might be the lost. It might be someone who's lost. And you meet them and it's the only time that they'll ever have a chance to hear the gospel. A tornado might go through and scatter their belongings all over. It could be to go weed someone's garden. Maybe someone has a bill they can't pay. Maybe there's a funeral and they need help. It could be buying a meal for someone that's hungry. Or it could be something, go seeing or visiting for someone who's discouraged. Maybe we've never seen the people before, and they just need an encouraging word. Maybe it's your son or daughter that needs a toy fixed. Maybe it's your wife that has been busy and needs dishes washed. Am I out of place by asking these questions? Or is that part of the picture of the heart of God here in this picture? It could be someone from another state, but it could very well be the person you live with. You know, this priest and this Levite, I'm sure that if they would have an opportunity to write in this passage here all their excuses, some of them we would probably think would be pretty valid. You know, they could have been on a, they could have had a meeting that they were on the way to. They could have been an appointment that they was running late for, and they didn't really have time to stop. Now, as I share these things, let's not look at the guy half dead along the road, but let's imagine driving down the highway and somebody has a flat tire, or somebody is, their cows are out and they're trying to get them in, or whatever it could be. Let's not look at the picture here with the guy half dead. Let's imagine ourselves going down the highway and all the excuses that could have very well been valid. That they had. You know, they might have been businessmen. I don't know. They might have had an opportunity to meet with some people that could have brought another $20,000 to their business in a year's time. Who would want to miss that opportunity? I don't know what their excuses all were. I don't know. They could have been on the way to a revival meetings and they're running a little late. Maybe the one was a preacher. He definitely can't be late. I don't know what their excuses were, but they walked past. And how many times am I going down the road at speed limit or cruising down the road, and my foot never leaves the accelerator when I see a need. I don't get off the cruise, but I cruise right on past. Who is my neighbor? You know, maybe, again, not. Let's not picture this guy half dead here this morning necessarily. I mean, that is part of the parable, but you know, maybe it's your son that has been wanting his toy fixed, and you've had a long week, and you're just too tired. Maybe that was their excuse. Maybe there's a brother's meeting, and the leaky faucet will just be put off again. Sometimes I've found it this way for me. I could make time to go, but it's pretty easy to just send my boys. Somebody has a need, it's pretty easy for me to send someone else. I've been convicted. I'm sure they could have both made all kind of excuses. But that wasn't the purpose for this parable. The other thing I see here is status. You know, the priest and the Levite, they're on the status roll in Scripture. They were way up here. They were way up here. And the Samaritan is kind of a nobody. Let's not be afraid to get dirty for helping your neighbor. He might be smelly. He might not look very nice. He might be who knows what. Let's not be so up here so high that we can't bend down to help him. We live in a very individualistic country, and I think that is part of the reason that it took me so long to, and I shouldn't blame it on that, but it took me a long time to see that it was more than a person half dead here that Christ is getting us to, wants us to see. He wants us to see the needs that we have around us and doing something about it, making a difference. Sometimes we know there's a need, and in our hearts we purpose, if I get time, I'll go help. But you know, that Samaritan could have very well had 10 acres of potatoes he wanted to plant that day too, by hand. Or he could have had a roof that needed to be fixed on his house. Or he could have had a lawnmower that really needed to be fixed, or the list goes on. But what he did is he stopped his own thing and went and ministered to this needy person. If I get time, I can go help. But this Samaritan took time. I don't know what, Jesus doesn't say that he had a lot of things going. I just imagine that he was just as busy as the priest and the Levite. I remember a little something that happened back when I was in school that blessed me. We got dropped off at a corner and we had to walk a couple hundred feet to school. We was on the bus, we got dropped off at a corner, we had to walk a couple hundred feet to our private school. And it was a morning kind of like this morning was, actually. It was slippery, and there's a vehicle that slid in the ditch. And there was a couple of us young boys there, and we just got in front of that car and we pushed it out. And I didn't think much about it, but this lady appreciated it so much, she treated the whole school with cupcakes. And it just came to me as I was thinking of our neighbor. Who is our neighbor? That day, it was that lady in that car. I don't know, she might have been running late and she was wondering how she's ever going to get out. I don't know what went through her mind. But she appreciated it. She treated us all with a cupcake. So if verse 27, according to Jesus, if verse 27 is the answer, in verse 28 he says, "Thou hast answered right, do this do and thou shalt live." Talking about 27 where he says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy might, and thy neighbor as thyself." If it is that vital, if it is that important, that one, this one little scripture here, if it is that important, should we get on our knees and ask God who our neighbor is? Should we get on our knees? Because, you know, we don't love God any more than what we love those who are around us. We just don't. Jesus had another conversation with some Pharisees in Matthew chapter 22. Reading from 34 to 40. And it has a lot of the same message in it. It says, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, 'Master, Which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, the Old Testament hangs completely upon them verses. In Matthew 7, verse 12, he says, Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. So Jesus takes it very serious in how we treat our neighbor. I'd like to turn to 1 John and read a few scriptures there as well. 1 John from chapter 2, verses 9, 10, and 11. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. And in chapter 4, verse 11, he says, Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And then verses 20 and 21. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth his brother whom he hath, for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath not seen, how can he love God whom he hath? Let me start over. I got it all messed up. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. The word brother there is used normally, or practically the whole time, as brethren, brothers in Christ. But the Greek actually says brother, fellow countrymen, neighbor. That is the Greek meaning of this word brother that we just read about. If you hate your brother whom you have seen, how can you love God whom you have not seen? It's not the same word as used in Luke 10, but it does say that in the Strong's. It's not hard for us to be neighbors with those who love us, is it? Sometimes there will be opportunities to be a neighbor to someone who's not lovable. He's not lovable. But let's remember, Jesus loved them so much that he went to the cross for them. That is the value that Jesus put on their soul. What kind of value will you and I put on their soul? He loved them so much that he went to the cross for them. That was the value that Jesus had for them. What kind of value do you and I have for them? I had to think of prison. When we go to prison, there's people in there that will defy you. That's not the majority, but there's some in there that will defy you. They hate you. They don't want you in there. But you know, you might be You might be the only neighbor he'll ever have. I'm taking too much time. The last thing we want to look at is in verse 37. It says here, and he said, he that showed mercy on him, then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. The answer that he gave was from the question in verse 36. Which now these three thinkest thou was the neighbor of him that fell among the thieves? And it was the one that showed mercy. What is mercy? So how do I show mercy? What is mercy? According to Strong's, this is the definition out of the Strong's. It says mercy or pity. It's the moral quality of feeling compassion and especially of showing kindness towards someone in need. This can refer to human kindness or to God's kindness to humankind. I'll repeat that. Mercy and pity. It's the moral quality of feeling compassion and especially of showing kindness towards someone in need. This can refer to human kindness or to God's kindness to humankind. In Romans chapter 9, verse 23, this is what it says. And that he might make known the riches of his glory. Now listen to who? On vessels of mercy. Which he had afore prepared unto glory. That he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. Which he had afore prepared unto glory. How much of God's riches and glory do we want to experience? Are we a vessel of mercy? Matthew 5, verse 7, Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You want mercy in your life? It's the same as forgiveness. The only way that you can be forgiven is if you forgive. And I think the only way that you will experience mercy, true mercy, is if you're merciful. So in this coming week, may we find purpose. May we purpose in our hearts to find ways to be merciful. Who is your neighbor? Or whose neighbor am I? It might be to the old man or the old lady that can hardly bend down far enough to tie their shoe, and you bend down and tie it. Could that be a neighbor? Or will we be like the priest and the Levite and say, hey, your shoe's open, and keep right on going? Who's my neighbor? Or whose neighbor am I? God bless you.